The text for the sermon this evening is Psalm 103, verse 5. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 103 is very instructive for us today in how we live our lives. In this psalm, the Lord Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, through the prophet David, teaches us that we should praise the Lord in everything. Christ teaches us the same thing by His Spirit through the apostle Paul in Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Here in Psalm 103, the Lord teaches us not to be desponding, morbid, murmuring, ungrateful souls who find reasons for complaining everywhere. On the contrary, like our Savior Jesus Christ, we should learn to suck honey out of every flower and praise God in connection with everything. How many of these things would have made others mourn? But they only called forth from our Savior's soul songs of praise and blessing. For instance, in verse 3, the Lord teaches us to stir up our soul and say to Christ, who forgives all your iniquities. Some would be forever complaining that they had sins and that those sins were a burden. But we should sing of our Savior who pardons all our sins. Some would be mourning before God that they are not well in health, complaining of their sicknesses. But we should sing of Christ who heals all your diseases. Morbid minds fret about death and about what might come after death. But we should sing of Christ who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. In verse 5, the Lord teaches us to sing of Christ who gives temporal and spiritual blessings, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. First, the Lord says that Christ satisfies our mouth with good things. Satisfaction is a precious word. It rings like a silver bell. Satisfaction. The richest man in the world has not found it. The greatest conqueror has never won it. The proudest ruler cannot command it. Satisfaction. It is not natural to fallen man. The Lord says in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 15 and 16, a very interesting statement. The leech has two daughters, give and give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Four, never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire never says enough. We might as well think the sea is full, or its waves still, as the heart of man is satisfied. It is a spiritual blessing. It is a grace that comes from the great satisfying God. The God who is Himself all-sufficient is the only one who is sufficient to fill the heart of man. Only God is able to satisfy. Satisfaction. That means enough. And enough is a bountiful feast. Apostle Paul writes to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. And he says there to these people of God, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." In Christ, we have spiritual riches, and that satisfies us. In Christ we have all things, for first, Christ is all, and second, he who did not spare his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3:21 through 23, "For all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's. And Christ is God's. You have enough then, for you have all things if you have Christ. Your spirit is content with what it has. Yes, more than content. You can say with the Lord Jesus in Psalm 23 verse 5, "My cup runs over." In receiving Christ into your soul, you have received more than your soul can hold. You are filled with all the fullness of God. In speaking of satisfaction, the Lord uses figures which denote satisfaction. The first is, "Who satisfies your mouth with good things." Your mouth is an important part of your palate, the way that you taste and enjoy what you eat. It is the place in which there is a sensory kind of enjoyment, which the Lord uses here in our text as a figure of a higher and spiritual delight. We do not merely receive God's good mercies, we enjoy them. We have not lost our taste for them. We do not swallow the honey of God's mercy as though it were so much tasteless egg white. But we know, through having our senses exercised and taught by God's good Spirit, how to get the flavor, the taste of the Word, and how to enjoy it. Christ satisfies your mouth. We all desire pleasures which are natural to us, and believers desire higher pleasures which the Lord satisfies with in this life until we enter into glory, where the Lord will enlarge our capacities to enjoy, and our desires also shall be increased. And there too we shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness or the fullness of his house, and we shall drink of the river of his pleasures forevermore. Until then, we are satisfied with Christ, satisfied with his salvation, satisfied with the Holy Spirit, satisfied with all his gracious operations, satisfied with the covenant of grace, satisfied with its sureness, satisfied with the largeness of its provisions, satisfied with the love of God, satisfied with all that the Lord wills, for we can say that his will is our will. there is enough. And there is also enjoyment of that enough. Notice the variety of the satisfaction that God gives. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. The mercies bestowed are good. They're not a good thing, but good things. The Christian's spiritual wealth consists of all kinds of good things. John chapter 1, verse 16 says, "And of Christ's fullness we have all received grace for grace." He gives more grace. He's the God of all grace. All sorts of blessings are provided for the believer, and the satisfaction which he enjoys is the result of receiving all the blessings that he can ever want. He satisfies your mouth with good things, that is, with pardons bought with his blood, with justifying righteousness, perfect, full, and complete, with adoption and all the privileges belonging to it, with sanctification and all of its gracious results in our lives. These are all good things, superlatively good things. Our soul does not merely feed on good doctrines and good opinions, but on real things, real blessings. And these are not all of one sort, nor all after one fashion, but they're like the fruit of that tree described in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, which blooms near to the throne of God and which bears its fruit every month and has a variety of fruits to suit the tastes of all who come hungering to eat of it. The Lord speaks of the excellency of the mercy which satisfies us, who satisfies your mouth with good things. His mercy is emphatically good. Many of the good things of this life, as we commonly say, are only good in a modified sense. They're easily made into curses, and they often become temptations. But the good things of God's grace are so good that they never can be anything else but good. And so good that they make our bad things good. They make our bitter afflictions sweet and turn our trials into joys. He who gets Christ has such a good thing that no tongue shall ever fully tell the goodness of Christ. He who gets everlasting love and all the streams that gush from that deep and fathomless fountain gets things so good, and in the most superlative sense of that word, that they're like God himself, who is essentially good. Ah, dear Christian, what a happy lot is yours to have good things from the good God and to have an abundance of them and to have yourself so ravished in the enjoyment of them that your soul can say, "I am satisfied. It is enough. I am content. My soul is overflowing with the good things of God." This satisfaction is continual. The word is in the present tense, who satisfies your mouth with good things. It is not did satisfy your mouth, though that is true. He did satisfy my mouth with good things when I first came to him and perceived the beauty of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And many times since then, he has made his servant to sit at the banquet table, and there in the presence of his enemies, he has been fed. Our text is in the present, and that means who now satisfies you. Tomorrow he will still be your present help, and he will still satisfy you. He will not only satisfy you in heaven, although that is true, For I shall be satisfied when I awaken his likeness, the Bible says. But even now, as far as your capacity goes, he continually satisfies you in things here below. Not with things below, but with things above. He satisfies you with himself while you are still absent from the Lord Jesus. What a great blessing to be satisfied in the present tense. It is particularly delightful, but it is precisely this which the unbeliever never enjoys. All his good things are generally in the past or in the future. I mean his good spiritual things. He will tell you of what he once felt, or else he hopes that in the days to come he will be satisfied and that one of these days he may be saved. The genuine religion of Christ is known by bearing the motto of today: present salvation. There is no religion under heaven except the evangelical truth of God that teaches present salvation. Beloved, we proclaim out of this book from God what we know and have proved, and we tell you that you may be saved now. The pardon of sin is not a thing merely for dying moments in the future. It is a thing for this very present hour. The Lord says in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." The Lord satisfies your mouth with good things. That makes you even now a happy believer, a rejoicing believer, a hopeful believer, a contented child of God, looking for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with full assurance of faith, hoping to be found among the waiting, worshiping community who worship Christ Jesus in the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. Second, we bless the Lord because the result of Christ satisfying us with good things is your youth is renewed like the eagles. Beloved, we need this. Every Christian needs his soul restored, refreshed, reinvigorated, newly quickened. Those who are saved constantly need restored to their first love. This is what the Lord promises here in our text. Why does every Christian need renewed? First, because of the ordinary wear and tear on spiritual life, as well as in every other form of life. You cannot serve God. You cannot praise Him. You cannot pray. You cannot do anything without some expenditure of strength. And therefore, you need to have that strength renewed. Moreover, in this world, fighting against sin and against temptations, bearing up against the current of our society and of the world around us, and enduring many other difficulties, takes away our strength. And therefore we need to go and drink again of the brook by the way, that we may lift up our head once again. The ordinary wear and tear of spiritual life requires this. Second, we often experience sinful decline. Backsliding is too common among Christians. We can ascend to the top of the mountain and dwell with God, but our foot soon begins to descend. There is a gravitation towards sinfulness in the best of men. Oh, that it were not so. But we are very conscious that it is so, and therefore we need to be renewed. Third, sometimes we fall into sorrowful spiritual diseases apart from sin. We may almost come to the borders of despair. We may cry out with our Savior in Psalm 42, verse 7, "All your waves and billows have gone over me. My heart is consumed because of grief." We may be brought very low. The Lord shall renew us. Notice the peculiar or unique excellency of the Lord's renewing in our text. Your youth is renewed. There is much that we can admire in the youth of the believer. Youth is the time of beauty. After a while, the furrows go deep into the brow, and the gray hairs are scattered here and there. But the young man and the maiden rejoice in the beauty of their youth. It is beautiful to see a young Christian. There's something so admirable in his conduct and bearing, in his first ardor, in his first love, in his first zeal, in his first jealous sensitiveness and tenderness of heart, his carefulness of walk, and more. We cannot but admire him. Thank God we do not need to give up these things when we are no longer in our Christian youth. Thank God he can renew our youth to us spiritually when we grow older bodily. And there is a beauty about the aged Christian that is living nearer to God and dwelling on the borders of heaven that is just as fair to look upon as the beauty of the young believer. God gives to his people from day to day a peculiar beauty in each season of life, and thus their youth is renewed. Youth is the time for vigor. Young man can run. He is strong. He has powers to throw away. How strong many young men are in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are strong and have overcome the wicked one. Alas, it sometimes happens that growth in years does not bring growth in grace. And we have known some who have grown weak and feeble as the years have passed over their heads. God can renew us all, to us all, the vigor that we ever had. He can bring back again all the strength we had for service during the first 20 years of our Christian life. Though we may have been living under a starving ministry and lost our strength, though we may have neglected much communion with Christ and lost our vigor, he can give it all back again. And once more we shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. Youth is the time for ardor, for fervency, for enterprise. I would not say one word to depreciate the wisdom and mature prudence of old age. But for all that, most of the things that are done in the world must be done by the youth. The radical element comes in to stir the conservative element and quicken it into activity. In the Christian church, there must be the young coming in. And if there is not, it is generally not a good time for the church. Surely, beloved, we do not need to lose our first ardor and enterprise and hopefulness. God can renew it to us at any time during our spiritual life. He can renew our youth like the eagles by renewing our courage for him, renewing our confidence in him, renewing our energy towards him, renewing our determination for him, renewing our willingness to run risks in his cause, renewing our ardor to tell others of Christ and his love spread abroad in our hearts. If you have lost that youth, cry out to God for it tonight. And he, by his Spirit, will renew your youth to you. Isaiah 40 closes with these words in 30 and 31. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Youth is the time for joy. We expect young people to be merry, and young Christians may well make merry and be glad now that they are brought into the house of feasting. God may make the early part of our Christian life to be smooth. He may protect us from those harder trials that will be necessary for us afterwards, but there is no reason why the joy of the Lord should ever depart from a believer. I have not known many, but I have known some Christians who are just as happy and just as joyful as they ever were in the brightest period of their lives, and have continued to be happy for years. Although spiritual decline is very common, it is not at all inevitable. Spiritual decline is as unnecessary as it is sinful. We might always retain that early joy and delight. Whatever joy you had in Christ 20 years ago, you should have even much more now. Whatever there was that delighted you about the Lord Jesus was shallow and superficial then, compared with the deeper delight that your spirit finds in the service of Christ, in the work of Christ, in the people of Christ, and especially in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. There's no reason why we should not continue to be young. What a joy when we are as hopeful or enterprising as our fathers who went before us. Instead of growing weak spiritually as we age, let us always be ready to gird up the loins of our mind and to run. And I pray that may be our case, that we may bring forth fruit in old age to show that the Lord is upright. Let us be fruitful even in old age. As long as we live, may the Lord renew our youth like the eagles. Third, we bless the Lord because the result of Christ satisfying us with good things is your youth is renewed like the eagles. What figure does the Lord use to illustrate renewing our youth? The Lord uses the figure of the eagle's longevity. The eagle lives on and on and on when many other birds have passed through many generations. The eagle lives 20 or 30 or even more years. The grand old king of the craggy rocks is still young when generations of other birds have passed away. The Lord says our youth is renewed like the eagles. That is to say, our spiritual life continues on and on and on through time right into eternity. Let me then lead your thoughts to the eagle for a moment. The eagle has a keen eye, but its eye would grow dim unless there was a constant renewal of its youth, and therefore its eyesight is renewed. The eagle eye belongs to every gracious man. He can see farther than the eagle can. He can see beyond the gates of pearl. He can see farther than that to the throne of God. Yes, farther than that into the heart of God. The eagle eye of faith is often clouded with unbelief. And it is a blessing for us that God increases our faith, and that once again we can see invisible things and rejoice to behold what has never been given to mortal eye to see. The eagle is a bird of strong flight, and that flight is part of its youth, which is renewed. The eagle is large, sometimes measuring from 6 to 8 feet wide when its wings are outspread. And yet as soon as it vanishes out of sight, it is lost in the blaze of the sun. Similarly, the Christian's youth is renewed. He mounts upward in communion with God, higher and higher and higher. Up he mounts like the eagle. Or at other times he goes forward in his Christian life, going from strength unto strength until he appears before his God in Zion. It is a mercy for us that the Lord is pleased to renew our power of fellowship with him, our power of making progress in living to God, just as he renews the eagle's youth. The eagle has great power and might also. He must be strong, or else when he tries to carry his prey to his young ones, he might soon grow weary. You and I have souls to feed and work to do for God and for his kingdom. And we need to have our might renewed like the eagles, that we may be strong to serve the Lord and to serve our fellow man. The eagle is made to fight. It smells the battle afar off and delights in carnage. Although the Christian is a man of peace, he also is a man of war. From his youth, he has had to contend with his own sinful corruptions and to fight with spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. And he needs his power to fight renewed every day, just as the eagles. The Lord promises to renew your youth day by day if you are joined to Jesus Christ by true faith. How is the eagle's youth renewed? God gives the eagle a life within which it is renewed. God has so made the eagle that it shall live on. Similarly, God has so constituted a believer that he shall live on. He has put a living, incorruptible seed within us that cannot die. And the water of life that he has given to us is in us a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. And therefore our youth is renewed like the eagles. There is a holy nature, a spiritual immortality of grace bestowed upon us, and therefore our youth is renewed. The eagle's strength is renewed by the food that it eats. Christ satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. When the eagle has satisfied his hunger, he is strong again. And when you and I have fed upon the Word of God, especially upon the incarnate Word of God, Jesus Christ himself, when we have been privileged to eat his flesh and to drink his blood, as the Scriptures describe it, as spiritual men know how, then, again, our youth is renewed. The eagle's strength is renewed by the air he breathes. Not here below in this smoky, polluted atmosphere, but up there in the clear air where all is bright. There the eagle breathes the pure air and thus renews his strength. And so the Christian renews his strength not here among sinners, but up there in the rarefied atmosphere of communion with God. There he grows strong again and comes down from heaven renewed in his strength, with his face glowing with the radiance of renewed youth, renewed by the breathing, by breathing the breath of God through the Spirit, by the Word. The Spirit of God visits us with times of refreshing and renews our strength. Who is the one who satisfies our mouth with good things and renews our youth like the eagles? The Lord Jesus Christ, God himself. Every believer here who has been satisfied, who has had grace restored to him and his youth renewed like the eagles, has all of this from the Lord Jesus Christ, from God himself. You have never had your soul renewed from anyone or anywhere else but from Christ. You have never had your mouth filled with good things except by God. Every temporal mercy has his mark upon it, for he sent it. Those houses, those children, that competence and ability that he has given you have all come from him. Every spiritual blessing has His mark on it. It all comes from Him. Remember that. And let it be all the more precious to you. Let it make your soul cling still closer to God, to think that all these blessings have come from Him. If all these things have come from God, remember with that, that all these things have come to you from God and through Christ. No mercy would have been a mercy if God Himself had not made the mercy. And no spiritual gift could have been yours unless God Himself had been in the gift. In fact, there is no good thing until you have Christ Himself. Life is nourished not so much by bread as by God's decree that bread should nourish us. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The ordinances, the things that God has ordained, do not feed your soul. It is Christ in the ordinances who feeds you. It is not the sacramental bread and wine. It is not baptism. It is not listening to a poor mortal like yourselves. It is not even private prayer. It is Christ in the prayer, Christ in the preacher, Christ in the ordinances, so that you not only have everything from Christ, but what satisfies you and what renews you is Christ Himself. Oh, to say, my Lord and my God, the Lord is the portion of my soul. This is sweetness indeed. Since you get everything from God and by God, ascribe everything to God. Let nothing pass by without praising Him. Consider that nothing comes to you by chance. Do not conclude anything to be what you deserve or what you earn. Bless God for it all. Let Him have the best of your songs, for you have the best of His gifts. Praise Him with a new song, for you have new mercies each day for which to sing and praise Him. If you ascribe everything to God, take care that you use everything for God. Let your temporal mercies be consecrated to Him. Give Him the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your wine presses shall burst with new wine. Give to God all your spiritual strength. And whenever you feel that you are renewed in strength, do not boast as though your strength were your own and you might use it as you like. But when the Spirit of the Lord moves upon you, as He did upon Samson in the camp of the Philistines, go out and smite them as he did. Go and help with the master's work. Help with the master's children. Watch over the master's sheep. Fight the master's enemies. And thus you shall continue to have your mouth satisfied with good things and your youth renewed, because the Lord will see that you are not wasting it or spending it upon yourselves, but giving it all to Him. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ in our text do not apply to all of you. There are some who are not satisfied, and you never will be until you come to Christ. There are some whose youth is not renewed like the eagles. It would be a pity if it were, for you must be born again. You must be born from above. Oh, that you may now be born again, for otherwise, for you to renew your youth would be to renew your sins and to increase your ruin. What you need most is a new heart, and there is only one who can give it to you, and that is He who made heaven and earth, even our Lord Jesus Christ. What you need is to have your sins washed away, and only He can do that. He who first filled the oceans can now wash away your sins in His own blood. trust him, and it is finished. Trust him, and it is completed. Trust him, and it is done altogether and forever. He who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is saved. Obey his command. Heed his call, and you shall find that God is faithful to his covenant. God is faithful to his Son. And God is faithful to you, to whom the promise is made, and you shall be saved forever. And you shall be satisfied with all the good things that he gives in this life and in the life to come. And your youth will be renewed like the eagles. Amen. Our Father in heaven, our minds and our hearts struggle to understand the greatness and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the promises that you have given us in him. Our hearts and our minds struggle to bless you with all that is in us, to bless your holy name, to not forget any of your many gifts and benefits. For you forgive all our iniquities, you heal all our diseases, you redeem our life from destruction, you crown us with loving kindness and with tender mercies, you satisfy our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Lord, teach us all these wonderful things that you have promised and that you do yesterday, today, and forever. And cause us to wait upon you so that our youth may be renewed, so that our strength may be renewed like the eagles. Father, we are weak. We so easily become discouraged. We so easily take our eyes off your promises. We so easily take our eyes off of our Savior, Jesus Christ, whom you have made to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and who is putting all his and our enemies under his feet. And when we take our eyes off of him, we begin to doubt, and we begin to sink. And we begin to despair, and we begin to mourn and to complain. Father, teach us to bless you in every circumstance, in every trial, in every affliction, in every day of life, for you are good. And what you have given us is goodness beyond compare. Fill our mouths then to overflowing with the abundance of your good gifts. And strengthen us, Father, that we may go from strength unto strength until we complete that race that you have laid out before us. Father, we pray for those whose mouths are not satisfied with good things and whose youth is not renewed like the eagles. Have mercy upon them, O God. Do not leave them to perish in their sins, but bring them out of that bondage and slavery in which they are held into the life and the liberty, into those blessings and gifts, into those promises and those graces that are found only in those who are united to Christ, who repent and believe. Lord, grant it, we pray, by the power and working of your Holy Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.